email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Next Wednesday is St. Patrick's Day, and we're gearing up for our national day. We're joined now on the line by Mancon McGann. And Mancon is here to tell us about his search for Irish words from the coastal areas of Ireland. How you doing, Mancon?
Very good indeed, Ray. Lovely to talk to you.
Great to talk to you again as well. The last time we were talking, you were saying, I'm not going to fly anywhere anymore, Ray.
That was exactly what last February, a year ago, I was taking this big principal stand and I expected everyone to feel sorry for me. Yeah. And then everyone stopped. They followed me.
It was like the world. It's like nature said, oh yeah, we'll help you out with that, Mancon.
Exactly. But I did have great plans to be taking trains all over Europe, and obviously that ended as well.
Yeah, yeah. So how have you been during lockdown? You had the congratulations on the success of your book, 32 Words for Field.
Yeah, that was a lovely surprise. I just settled down here in Westmeath and started growing more vegetables and keeping more hens and then keeping turkeys for Christmas and like swimming in my little lake. But it was a lovely surprise halfway through to have a book, as you say, about the Irish language, which should have just been a nice slow seller for a few years, just catch people's attention and sell way more copies and way more editions than I thought.
What do you reckon is people's favourite word for a field, or is there one, or what's yours?
I suppose, I don't know, one word I love is quiverin, and quiverin means a field that's worked in partnership with your neighbours.
Right.
So it requires a whole social system where you share the plough team, you share the seeds, you share the labour. I love that.
Yeah, and that brings us nicely on, because like the Irish language, one word can say so much. It's a very rich language, isn't it?
I mean, you know, people complain a bit about the language because it's a complicated language. But that's because it's a language that's been going for like 2,500 years, maybe 3,000 years, with some elements of it maybe going back way longer than that. And so it's almost like DNA in a tree. You know, they say a tree and a really old species, like a woodlouse, have all these extra genetic complexities in them just because they've lived longer. So the modern languages that we're used to in Europe, like French and German and English, they're very different from those ancient languages like Hebrew, like Sanskrit, and like Irish, which has its roots in them.
Give them the stats there. You know, on average, what your average person would use, the number of words in English compared to the number of words in Irish.
Yeah, well, a few years ago, I did a project called Gaeilge Tamagotchi, and I was just looking, finding these rare words that people were forgetting. And it was words to describe someone's character in Irish. Mm. And there's 4,300 words in Irish just to describe someone's character, like what I was called when I was young, Plubbera, which is basically fatso.
Right.
All of these words in a non-PC age. It was the 1970s, you know. But all these words. And so that's 4,300 words to describe someone's character. In English, most speakers have about 12,000 words in their entire vocabulary. And Shakespeare used 30,000 words in his entire literary oeuvre.
Right.
So, like, Irish is just off the charts in the amount of different terms for very specific things.
Isn't that's brilliant. Yeah, I'd love to you to give me a word from it. No, don't. So, the Tamagotchi thing, just explain the relevance of that. So,
do you remember in the 1990s, there were these little digital toys, digital Tamagotchis, and you had to, it was a little toy, and you had to feed it by pressing buttons and change its nappy and keep it alive by nourishing and nurturing it.
Right.
So I thought, how about if I give a word to people and do the same, get them to love it and nourish it and do nice things with it.
Right.
And the idea took off.
An Irish word, yeah.
Exactly.
Just before we get to the words that you've collected from, you know, down the West Coast to describe various things that happen in our seas, what do you feel about the state of the language at the moment?
I have to say, I'm positive, but I'm biased. Like, so I had a book come out, as you said, that was meant to sell, you know, whatever, 2,000 copies over a year and a half, and it's in its sixth edition.
Right.
So something has happened during COVID. We seem to be swimming more in the lakes and rivers and the seas, and we seem to be going back to nature, going back to that interest in our heritage and our culture.
Yeah.
So if you were to ask me what I thought about that rich, rich, complex Irish that's in the Gaeltacht and the future of that, there's great steps of positivity from that, but that's more perilous. But the idea of people being slightly less biased against the Irish in urban centres, that seems to be shifting. People seem to accept it.
If tomorrow I waved a wand and I made Mancon McGann Minister for the Irish Language, what was the first thing you'd do?
Yeah, so, I mean, the reason I wrote the book and the reason I did this little sort of show, Greg, at See Tamagotchi, because I think we always look at the language in the wrong way. We look at it as though it's a school problem or a government problem. I think it's something deeper. Irish people all around the world need to connect with their landscape, need to connect with their heritage, because that's the way forward. Otherwise, you feel isolated, you feel depressed, you feel cut off from who you are. And so some way I would be trying to get people back to engage with the land, back to engage with their history, back to engage with their own bodies. And coming from that, naturally, the language will arise out of it because it's linked to all those things.
Yeah, like what I found very positive last year was the number of people who had to, they had to holiday at home. People who would automatically just have driven to Cork Airport or Dublin Airport and got on a plane and gone wherever. But they had to discover parts of Ireland that they'd never discovered before. Yeah. And they were actually, I'm not surprised, you know, they were pleasantly surprised. Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised that they were pleasantly surprised because I know and I love, you know, holidaying in Ireland. And similarly with the language, I think that's part of what happened as well. As you described it a lot more eloquently than I did. Okay, so see Tamagotchi. So you interviewed people.
Yeah, so as part of Galway 2020, last year's big celebration of culture, I set off all along the coast of Donegal, of Mayo, of Galway, just going to the fishermen and the folklorists and collecting up the words from them. And some of these words, they said they hadn't said for like 40 or 50 years. Like a word like muirlu. And muirlu is the practice of getting the little green crabs that we used to collect as kids, chewing them up in your mouth and spitting them into the sea to act as a bait for the fish. It's going to come to your net.
Right. Bultog. I like that one.
Oh, bultog is great. Bultog is a shaft or a ray of light that's on the wrong side of the sun, and it's a sign of bad weather approaching. So a lot of these, as well as being beautiful words, had practical insights to them as well.
And a crewbog.
A crewbog is great. A crewbog is when a stroke of the oar digs too deep in into the water and it swivels back and it comes and hits you and could kick you out of your rowing bench. In fact, can throw you into the water.
Isn't it brilliant that there's a word for that?
It's so good, yeah.
And you could hear people having the conversation in the pub that night that your man suffered at the hands of a crewbog or whatever way you'd say it, yeah.
Biggest embarrassment, yeah. To be kicked out of the boat by your own oar.
Pat Murphy from Mullet Peninsula. Tell us about him.
So Pat Murphy, since the 1960s, he's been collecting, he's just a folklorist, a fisherman, a seaman out on the Mullet Peninsula. He's been collecting sea words from his neighbours, collecting the ancient prayers that go with it, collecting words like cablu, which is the spirit voices that are heard in the distance at sea on calm nights. And he's been recording them on reel-to-reel tapes. And I turned up, he's got a visitor centre there, Trust Shear, out beyond Belmullet. I turned up and these beautiful concepts and words kept spilling out of his mouth. That were all alive at one time in the Mayo Gaeltacht. And, you know, the Mayo Gaeltacht of all is a very frail one. All of these words are being forgotten.
Okay, Gunnar Seta, let's hear what he has to say about that.
Right. Along the shore, you would get Gunnar Seta, blowing sand. Blown. It's been blown by the wind. It's the grass and the land has dried away from it, or eaten away from it, so there's only the sand left. But it's blown by the wind, and it's loose.
Loose sand, blown on the beach.
And he said that what they used to do, they'd gather up this very fine loose sand and they'd put it on the flagstones of the cottages. And if there was a dance, if there was after Banish and Sogart, which was when the priests would come to bless the house, they'd do a dance around on the flagstones and the sand would rise up. And they called this Rinka Naginin, the dance of the rabbits, because all the sand would rise up in the air, this fine sand.
Okay, so you see Tamagotchi, it's a project for Galway 2020. It's like most things now, it's gone virtual. So where can people see it on St. Patrick's Day?
Yeah, so for St. Patrick's Festival, they've paid me to make little videos of some of the words by Pat Murphy and by other of the fishermen and the folklorists I met. And so they're going to air them on SPTV, which is St. Patrick's Day, St. Patrick's Festival television, which runs for the next, you know, from Sunday for the next for a few days. And that's going to be on Sunday at 4 p.m. on SPTV and then on Monday at 6 p.m., Monday the 15th.
Great.
And they'll be on RTE.ie, the culture page. They'll be on the Oireachtas channel and on on the St. Patrick's Day Festival website, which will have just amazing programming for the 12th to the 17th of March.
Mankan, Gurmagud.
Slán,
thank you very much. Slán. That's it from us. Cormac and Sarah on the way. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.